You are the man now, dog. 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 You are the man now, dog.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Man Dog Pod. My name is Ryan Rosenberg, and I am your co-host with the co-most. Sitting alongside me is, of course, my good buddy Dan Lippert. Hey, Dan, what's happening?
Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, sir. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Happy Memorial Day to everybody who is listening the second this came out on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. You're always so good at that, predicting the day that it's going to be when this releases, because it's the Monday before, but I never can do that math.
I'm a bit of a seer when it comes to that type of stuff. I'm an oracle.
Well, it's a calendar. We all have the calendar, but you're good at keeping it in here.
7 days, it will be Memorial Day, and that's you good. Will be the one, Neo.
That's really good. Hey, did you see that new Matrix?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it.
Now, I feel like this movie got a lot of chatter real quick, but then has completely died off. Some people loved it. Some people hated it.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough with the way stuff is released now.
Right.
You know, if you just watch it at home, it becomes kind of like the same as you watched an episode of Seinfeld or something.
Right. Yeah. Inconsequential.
Yeah, but I liked it a lot. I thought it was like a fun commentary. I think it was like a clever way to bring it back into it. And I loved the nostalgia of it. I loved Keanu can do no wrong, if you ask me.
Love Keanu. Yeah.
So yeah, I had a blast.
That's great. I was watching it with some people who were kind of laughing at it, like, oh, sure. This is bad, whatever. And so I couldn't get that out of my head. So as I was watching, I was like, I think this is really bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched it again since by myself, which is how I really prefer to see a film to decide.
Right. Not be colored by that. Because I have had that where I've watched things with people who were clearly not enjoying it. So it makes me have a bad time and it also colors my opinion.
Right. Right.
Because I don't want to be wrong. But hey, it also might not be for you.
That's right. It may not be. I had a hard time with like the new Morpheus for some reason. I was like, he's like doing an impression sort of, which is what he's supposed to do because it's literally like the same, you know, whatever. But I was like, I don't know. I can't get over this. Yeah. Anyway, that's not the only thing to be resurrected recently. The Man Dog Pod also. We're back. Oh, that's all. We're back.
We're back. Yeah. Of course, we died for your sins.
Yes, which we all know there are plenty.
Yes, we all know you little sinners out there.
Don't
want
to make it about how bad you guys are, but you're little baddies.
Everyone that listens to our podcast is a nasty little sinner.
A little nasty boy or girl or whoever you are.
But thank God they had saviors like us who could die for their sins.
Thank God. Thank God.
We're not even guilting you about it.
No, I'm not. Why would I?
Keep sinning. Just remember why you get to.
Yeah, you are a sinner. That cannot change. That's how we were all made.
Yeah. Well, you did the original sin. You ate an apple.
You ate an apple and you listened to the podcast. That's the original sin.
And so now some guy has to throw water on you. ideally, dunk your whole baby head.
Ideally, Dunkin' Donuts. Ideally.
Yeah. You got to get Dunkin' Donuts. That is the baptism of the Man Dog Pod.
I got a little drive-through McDonald's bacon, egg, and cheese this morning, and it was very satisfying.
Man, even just hearing that, you're my best friend. That sounds so nice.
Oh, you're my best friend, man. It's so good. It was so good. I left my computer just on the muffin. I think I'm done with the biscuit. The biscuit is a little dry for me and just heavier. The English muffin goes down like water. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
Yeah, definitely heavier if you're doing the biscuit. Are you putting the hash brown inside of the sandwich?
No, I just sort of eat them bite on, bite off. You know, I sort of I like budget my meal as I'm eating it, sort of, so that I have a little bit of everything the whole time. You know, I never eat like the whole sandwich, then the whole hash brown, then the whole drink. It's sip, sip, sip,
right,
if you will.
The trouble for that, for me with that, is I'm eating it and driving, so sometimes it's a full inhale.
Of course. And the hash brown always goes way too fast. The hash brown should be a foot longer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It should be churro. The hash brown should be churro length, no doubt about it.
Same width, maybe wider.
Same width as it currently is.
Yeah.
Wider than the churro, same width as the current McDonald's hash brown.
Man. And the funny trick with that hash brown, just get it at Vaughn's. Get the package for $2 and right. have 40 of them
right.
and just throw them on the grill. But instead.
But dude, am I running a deep fryer at my house? Because you cook them in the sure. oven and it's like, sure, this is crunchy.
Right.
I don't know if it's crispy.
I'm not getting the crisp on the outside, soft in the middle.
This is something that I feel like I could do my thesis on. The difference between crunchy and crispy.
Tell me about it.
Crunchy, to me, is not as nuanced as crispy, because yeah. crispy to me implies an outer crisp to something that is inner. You yeah. know what I mean? Crunchy is one consistency all the way through.
Sure.
It's like a cracker is crunchy, but not crispy.
I hate to break it to you, but you've explained it pretty well in two sentences. So it's tough for that to be a whole thesis.
Well, now. I mean, that's the thesis statement. Now, I'm okay. surely going to support this with more evidence, things right. like that. I would be curious to talk to like an actual, I mean, surely most chefs or like there's like food scientists who could actually, who probably actually have the answer on this.
Right.
But I think I'm right.
I think crispy, well, and are you saying crispy is always better or you're saying it's different based on the thing?
It's different, different tools. You know, I prefer crispy because mm-hmm. I like a little contrast. You know, crunchy is like, what's a good crunchy?
It's mostly got to be desserts or like popcorn is crunchy.
Yeah, biscotti. Like
so a potato chip, do you mm-hmm. want that crispy or crunchy?
I think those are crunchy.
Those are crunchy. I thought you were going to say crispy.
Well, they are crispy too. That's interesting because there's so little inside.
Yeah.
Because could they be crispy? Because if maybe the bottom of the bag is crunchy and the yeah. actual whole chips are crispy.
Language is very important. I mean, Noam Chomsky will tell you, you can't just go throwing around words like this. You have right. to know what you're saying. Especially you and I, we've been waiters. Sure. If you're going to describe something as crispy, it better not be crunchy.
Yeah, and vice versa, goddammit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever miss the serving days?
There's a bit of nostalgia there. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun to go home with like $150 cash.
Right.
That's like, and then, because you know your paycheck's going to be low. And yeah. so it's all, now when my paycheck is way lower than I expect, like when they take out all the taxes and whatever, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, fuck, that's all the money.
Right.
But with waiting, the paycheck was like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
The cash is all I'm making, and then I just throw the paycheck into a savings account.
Right. Because I'm dumb, I felt richer when I was working at a service restaurant getting yeah. $100 cash than when I get like a big paycheck.
You yeah, know what I mean? And you're like, not declaring it either. Like you're right. You make $150 on a shift, you're declaring like $70 or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah, I missed that.
I think I've maybe said this before, but I think I would be a way better waiter now. Mm-hmm. Like I know, I think I was still performing a little bit. Absolutely. Wanted my tables to like me.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't give anybody any of that anymore. They don't need it.
Right. You'd give them just actual good service rather than like a fake person.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
I don't care if we're friends. We're never going to see each other again.
Right, right.
I don't know how I would have tolerated the, like, 50-something-year-old, now you would call them, like, alt-right guys that came mm-hmm. to the bar every day.
Right.
Like, just old-school Pennsylvania racists who right. you, like, have to always toe the line with because they're customers. And you can't just be like, one of them, I've told the story before, but this guy, Mark, he's the building inspector for all of Universal City.
Right, right, right.
And he made his own reserved sign that he puts on his spot at the bar. And if he ever walked in and someone was sitting at a spot, he'd turn around and walk out.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. I mean, I've always kind of had a problem with authority, so I don't think I could do that part of it anymore.
Right.
You're very managed at a restaurant, and that's tough for me.
Yes, that is tough. Yeah. And definitely.
It's probably why I quit working most jobs.
Absolutely.
Because I have a hard time working with others. Unless I already really like you.
I really better think that you know more than me if you're my boss.
Oh, my.
But if I think we are equals or that you're less than, which I think about a lot of people, sadly, then you like bossing me around or being not rude to me or anything like that is not going to fly.
Right, right. I have that. I have such a problem with authority in that way because the truth is that's not acceptable.
No.
Like, I accepted this job and I have to choose to work here.
Yeah.
But man, it's hard for me to like be someone's son that I'm not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The problem is most people in managerial positions, I mean, it's why everyone loved The Office so much. Like, they love like their high status, low status.
Right. The respect is not really there sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think I would be okay around authority if it was like mutually respectful.
Right.
But they don't really treat you with respect like managers at restaurants like 75% of the time. So. Right.
Well, and once you leave, you realize that their turnover is like 50% a year of people. So they're like, this is not a long-term relationship.
Yeah. And they're doing all this horse shit where they're like trying to get you on board with the corporate. I remember I've also maybe told this, but at Subway, they told you the math of how much the corporation loses if you give away 4 napkins instead of 2. You know what I mean? Or like if you put 8 slices of tomato on a foot long instead of 6.
Right.
And it was like, why do I care? Why do I care that Subway's bottom line changes if everybody gives 4 napkins? That doesn't affect me at all. I get paid the same either way.
Right.
I don't get rewarded if I do it right. So, like, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, RIP to Subway and Dan's relationship.
Yes. Yeah. Well, probably the place I've eaten at the most in my whole life also.
Because of working there and just being a teenager?
I worked there, and then when I worked at – and being a teenager, yes. And then when I worked at City Walk, it was the only, like, non-fried option for my lunch breaks.
Mm-mm.
So I would eat that a lot.
I feel like that's their whole thing, is going like, we're near other restaurants and we don't have fries.
Yeah.
Like, that's almost the total sell, and it should work for me more, to be honest.
I wonder how much they've cratered ever since, like, the information age, where now we know that's not actually a healthy place.
Right. Getting a whole loaf of bread for lunch is not the move.
Yeah. Like,
a foot long of bread is like, no, you eat a foot long of bread over the course of a week or two, not for lunch.
And also in L.A., I don't know how they've never started having drive-thrus. Like, I think that is almost like business 101.
Must be way cheaper to just be in like a little strip mall thing.
But how do you – I'm never trying to get out of my car when I need food right away.
Starbucks has figured it out. They've figured out the drive-thru, you know, other thing.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's all in the past. What's going on in the present with you, my man? I know we got a big project coming up this week that I'm very excited about.
Yeah, John Mackey and I wrote a short 4 years ago, and John's directing it, and I'm in it, and you're in it, and it's we're shooting it this week.
Can't wait.
And it's funny because there's always like the little intricacies that of things that are out of your control when you shoot something that make you anxious. But then on top of that, we're like in the middle of a COVID wave.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, there's that thing to be anxious about of like, if someone vital to the shoot gets test positive the day before.
Right.
It's just totally out of your control.
Right.
So,
well, the nice part is the shoot is mostly outdoors. So as long as we don't, you know, at least there's not a ton of close, the tight-knit quarter stuff, you know, if something does slip.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping we'll be okay. But it's exciting, and it's very
really
funny.
I can't wait to make it, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I mean, like, all my thoughts are that the way I move through the world is, like, I err on negative thinking, which is not great. But, like, the big thing that is kind of coloring this for me now is, like, it used to feel like, I've said this before, the idea was, like, you could shoot a thing $1,000, put it out there, and you know, it'd be awesome. This is going to cost us a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like this is like how much like Clerks cost to shoot,
right?
Or something like that. And it's like, that's a bummer because it makes you feel like it's got to be much more important than it is. Like there's no message here.
Right.
It's just a fun little short with like good characters and it's funny. But you watch shorts sometimes and it's like, why did they make this? What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a great showcase. Your every character was written for the person that's playing them.
Beautiful.
It's going to be very funny to watch everybody.
It's a funny script. Definitely made me laugh when I was reading it. I'm excited to get in there. It's going to be really fun.
It's fun. It's everyone in Big Grande will be slightly involved. And our friend Mary Holland, who was like not an original member of Big Grande, but she was in our first two sketch shows. And it's fun to 13 years later still be doing stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I'm excited. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. What's up with you? What's going on?
I don't know. Not too much. This week, my girlfriend's dad is going to be in town, so we're going to take him around and I think go to a couple museums and stuff like that. Aaron and I went a while ago to like the Broad and the LACMA and stuff like that, so we're kind of going to do a little museum tour and got a fun little dinner planned. But other than that, just making this short with you, my man.
Yeah.
That's really it for this week and trying to catch up on the forever to-do list that I have that is rarely getting done.
What's at the top?
It's rotating all the time.
Yeah.
It's sort of a living document that I always do the easiest thing on, and then the hardest things keep stacking up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got the laundry done, but now I have to do any work, any real work, you know? Yeah. It's just so hard for me to, like, have self-imposed deadlines. It's hard for me to just self-care, like care for myself if no one is telling me what they need or how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that stuff is difficult for me. I know what I got to do, but man, do I still have to do it, you know?
I relate to that. And the thing that is starting to frustrate me is like, at what point do I know the answer and I'm not doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, when is the answer coming?
Because
it is like frustrating, especially when I hear myself like in therapy being like, I'm actually mad at myself, but also part of me is like, hey, if you don't fix this for me soon, what are we doing?
Right. If you don't give me some sort of diagnosis, you're bad and it's not me. Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I feel similarly in that, like, I think that's what's hard is that, like, I throughout a lot of my life have relied on other people to do stuff for me, or like I help them with their thing and that works for me. But this is hard for me because, like, I have to be in charge. I have to handle it. I have to have routines. And that's just never been a strength of mine. You know what I mean? Like, it's really hard for me to put myself first in a weird way. And so it's kind of foreign. It's like, I don't know how to not take a break all the time. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think it's like, you know, stress and anxiety underneath it all that like makes me feel burnt out all the time, even when I'm like not working that hard, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, how can I give myself a little mental break so that I can actually approach some of this stuff? I just feel like sort of overwhelmed all the time.
And so
I don't know how to become not overwhelmed, I guess.
Yeah. That's tough, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, things are going relatively okay and it's fine, but I just have this nagging, like, big list of things that I'm like, if these don't get done, what's going to happen? You know, just like kind of constantly hanging over me. And the answer is just to do it all. But
yeah.
Easier said than done for me.
It feels sometimes like frustrating that I know the answer for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can do it for 2 weeks.
Right.
I think like a big thing for me that I need to break is the idea of how much free time I, quote, deserve. Mm-hmm. And like each new thing that takes away that free time makes me feel more discombobulated and more like annoyed and more stressed out. And it's like, that's, there's something to do with that. And like my acknowledgement of how much I feel my time's taken up by others.
Right.
And like, so that like,
it feels like boundaries, right? It's like, I feel like I'm working for people even when I am not, because I'm like thinking about it and stressing about it. And like, because I don't have those self boundaries, I just always feel like I'm at work. Even if I'm like sitting in my house doing nothing, I'm like thinking about it and ruminating on it. And it's like, yeah, how do I ever put it down so that I can be like, I'm ready to pick it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder, I that's just always been so hard for me, any sort of boundaries in my life. But I'm realizing that like the self boundaries are the most important ones, and they've taken me the longest to learn or figure out, or I don't know what it is. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's difficult being a person sometimes.
I the things I know that work. The to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
Make one for the week and make one for right before I go to sleep. So for the next day. It's like, all right, this is what I'm going to wake up and do. I have a reason to get out of bed on the days that I don't have a podcast, or that the first record is at 2.
Right.
It's like, all right, what, like,
but I said, won't routine. Stick to those. Like, I don't have the boundary enough to, like, I literally did that last night. I set my schedule with like hour by hour what I'm going to do today. And then I just slept in and didn't do the first one.
Yeah.
And then I had to change the second one. And then I was a little late. And then I was like running around doing shit trying to get here. And it was like, again, like you planned it and then you made it hard on yourself again.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do I give myself the gift of not doing that? Like, it's not just the planning. It's also the sticking to it.
Yeah.
Because like you said,
go ahead.
Just that I know it for a week at a time or 2 weeks at a time, but it just, it doesn't stick.
I bought a 5-year calendar for like myself and for my girlfriend as like, this will be fun to schedule out stuff, but also it'll be like in 3 years I can see what I did on this day.
Mm-hmm.
But now the funny thing is going to be like, in next year, on like February 8th, I'll be like, oh, yes, this is the 3 weeks where I didn't use this.
Right.
And then, so then that brings like the shame back. And like, how do you get rid of that stuff too?
Right.
That is,
right. Definitely shame based, whatever this is.
I like the idea of this thing that my friend Evan talked about from a book he read that I don't really do. But the way you schedule out your day is you slot out the things that have to be done.
Right.
Put those in. And then like the things that, this podcast has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for like me for a little while, like working out has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you slot out like the things that's like, oh, I want to get these done. But also one of the have to's is like an hour for you, mm-hmm. like an hour to like read or watch TV mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all part of the schedule.
Right.
Instead of like, I'm just going to watch TV for
only scheduling hours. Things I don't like.
And yeah, then exactly.
Blowing them off to do the things that I haven't scheduled, but I know I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going to watch TV. So schedule it. Don't just do it when on a break.
Yeah.
Right.
Not feeling like controlled.
Right.
By these things that you're basically like.
Right.
Repressing.
Mm-hmm. Totally. The repressing things feels very apt for me.
Yeah.
It's like, I know I should work and I blow it off and then I feel bad about it. And it's like this spiral of like, you loser. You're not showing up for yourself,
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But hey, plenty of stuff to be happy about and excited about in these scary times as well. You know what I mean? It's beautiful out. I'm trying to go beautiful to the beach out. This week.
It's good. This would be a good
I'm alive. Week. I have that's friends. Good. You know what I mean? Lots of good stuff.
Yeah. Let's see. Gratitude.
What do they say? The thing you focus on, more of it comes to you. So if I keep focusing on how stupid and fucked up I am, guess what's coming? You know what I mean? More of that. So I'm like, how do I focus on the things I want and move closer to those,
Yeah. You know what I kind of did this last week that I felt pretty helpful it was just kind of subconscious, but I stopped doing some of the things that have been big pieces of my life just to see if I missed them. Mm-hmm. Like I play a lot of Fortnite, and I like watch a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what if I don't do those for a few nights in a row?
Right.
And I didn't miss either of them really. Like right. I love watching basketball, but do I need to every night just because right. it's the playoffs?
Right.
Or like maybe I can watch the games on a delay later when I can fast forward them through them.
Yes. It's not, I've been doing that and watching yeah. them like at night when I have absolutely nothing to do. I'll watch yeah. the game from like 10:30 to midnight instead yeah. of right in the middle of dinner, you know?
Right. When they start at 5, it's like, okay, well, I got to be home by 5. And it's right. like, so that was a good thing to do of like, what are these big pieces of my life that I feel like I love doing and have to? What if I took them away? Would right. I enjoy them more the times that I do them, which are less common?
Mm-hmm. We're all growing up and learning how we work, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you know how they always talk about like, in therapy, you're like undoing your childhood trauma, or, you know, you have these early influences that affect your life because you didn't know what was going on and whatever. But I feel like that is still happening to me. Like,
yeah.
Like surely the childhood stuff mattered. But surely right now I am still in development of some sort. You know what I mean? Right. I'm in my like adult development, but it is still like a period of change. Like you grow right. up and you think like, well, now I'm a constant. But that's just so not true. Like I'm still learning and changing and growing all the time. But I feel like because I'm a 36-year-old adult, I should be like done with that.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm not perfect, I like am mad at myself for it. And it's like, well, I'm still learning how to do this part. This part is still new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I don't give myself enough compassion for that, I think. Of like,
yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm in therapy and I'm like, I just got to fix all the stuff from like when I was younger and then I'll get it. And it's like, yeah, but you also need to focus on like right now. You know what I mean? And like not live in the past. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're not just done learning, I guess.
Totally. All that. I mean, it's like a snake eating its own tail a little bit, because it's like even the stuff that's happening today that you're like changing and growing, that's not set in stone, is right. like expressions of those early childhood things. So it's mm-hmm. like this weird little circle. But yeah, I totally understand that of like, oops, you can't feel like you're living your life fighting a 30-year-old battle all the
yes,
time.
Yes, totally. Totally.
And there are like new changes that happen all the time. So that makes sense. Sure.
And I think fighting the old one like prevents me from showing up to the current one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like now I don't have parents fucking up my whatever, but I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I am the one now parenting myself and making sure my life is okay. And it's like, oh, I got to focus on that now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like the ideal for me is like that the understanding leads to the change instead of what can I think happen a lot with like therapy or anything where it's like the understanding turns into its own blame spiral.
Right. Exactly.
Instead right. of just like, okay, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. That's why X equals Y.
Right.
And now like every time Y happens, I can be like, oh, this is X. This is,
yeah.
you know, what I felt like, I don't know what a good example would be, but like sure. growing up, I felt like, my free time wasn't my own, so now I really like own yes. all my free time.
And right. I felt very out of control, and now I am always trying to control my time or space. Yeah. Or yeah.
Like I right. didn't feel, I don't know, comfortable failing because mm-hmm. like I was never whatever rewarded for trying.
Right.
So now I'm so scared of failing at anything that I don't do anything. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, that's what this feeling is now. That's why I don't want to go
is.
To this event with 10 people because I'm scared I'm going to fail at being social. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, that's okay. That's
mm-hmm.
what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like you and I both have been in therapy long enough where it's like, I intellectually get all of this stuff.
Yeah.
When do I feel it in my bones and behave differently?
Right.
That's what it is for me, is like I'm in this period of like knowing different but not yet doing different.
Right.
And that is more painful somehow because I'm like not ignorant to it anymore. You know right. what I mean? Like, so I'm excited to get through that period and just start showing up in all the ways that I say that I know. You know right. what I mean? Like, really, yeah, integrating those things rather than just intellectually knowing them.
Right.
Which is hard for me because that's how I operate.
But it's very, like, within your grasp because relationally, you have, like, learned a lot about yourself and you're, totally. Like, an incredible communicator and you're very thoughtful with stuff like that and in ways that most people are not. And that's, like, a lot of that. Growth and change.
Thank you.
So it's definitely...
You know what they say, the smartest people are in the most pain. So I'm feeling a lot of pain. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I feel like Dan Pagliacci at his doctor.
Who is that?
That's that old story. It might be Pagliotti or something like that. But this guy goes to his doctor and he's like, doctor, I'm so sad all the time. Like, I just feel like I'm constantly in pain. I don't have a reason to live. And the doctor goes, well, you know what'll make you feel better? The clown Pagliacci's in town tonight. You should go see him. And he goes, but doctor... I am Pagliacci.
Ha.
Or Pagliotti. Yeah. Yeah, it's the Joker.
Sad clown.
And by the way, hey, Doc, check the files.
Right, come on, man. It says P. I was thinking about the Joker the other day, not because I like it or whatever, but it's so funny how many
not because
people,
I like it.
No. But how many people like... flock to that movie as like, I feel seen. I'm an outsider like the Joker. And it's like, well, hey, if it's millions of us, no, you're not.
Right.
We all feel that way. It's you're not some individual dark soul. It's like, yeah, life is hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And I don't know. It's an interesting thing to like, the cognitive dissonance of like, I'm just like the Joker, that mass produced movie that millions of people have, you know what I mean? It's right. A strange thing.
Like Warner Brothers really figured me out. Yeah. Thank God for Warner Brothers or the Warner Brothers AT&T conglomerate. Right. That they really spoke to me here.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. I mean, you know, whatever. I get it. Everybody feels a little bit outcast. You know, it says a lot about our society.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, I don't even know how to process the response to like Joker and Batman stuff. Mm-hmm. I also think about it a lot. They're like it's the most popular franchise. Every new one makes $1 billion.
Right.
Right. And I don't know like what that is about our culture. I think I've talked about it before, but like
we love
it. Think there is a weird maybe white male thing or maybe just generally American thing of like you present one version of yourself while you're hiding another version and people right. like that or
right. Well, and who doesn't want to be a known billionaire and a secret hero?
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's the ultimate fantasy for someone who wishes they had a lot of power. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
But it's like,
I mean, it's yeah. like, yeah, it's extremely insane.
It's a little bit of... I don't love this connection, but you know, that's like that movie's associated a lot with like white male rage.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel a little bit to me like when the January 6th riots, where it's like, yeah, you could be mad at the government, you could be untrusting, but like once you're at a thing and you look to the right and a guy's holding a Nazi flag, like look around you. And right. it's the same with like, oh, I'm obsessed with the Joker. And it's like, well, are you a little curious about all the other people obsessed with it? Like right. maybe something's going on there. I don't right. know. Maybe you can't judge yourself by who is in that company, but
yeah. Well, I mean a little bit, I think you got to read the room that you're in. It's a yeah. safety thing, right? For everybody has to do that.
But I think it is so cheap to actually play on those fears. Like I liked the new Batman, but I thought that mm-hmm. was so cheap to play on this. Like I really don't like seeing, and again, with this month, like this, sad shit in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like movies portraying these guys as like the thing you should be scared of now, because it's like, yes, right. I am scared of this.
Right.
And you're not really teaching me anything about these characters.
Right.
Like you are giving them a voice and
it's
they
like
don't
a race
really need
to the
it.
Bottom of this fucking, yeah, dark cultural shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay, we know these guys exist. I really don't need to empathize with them as the mm-hmm. villain, which is like any good superhero makes you empathize like with the villain mm-hmm. at some point. It's like, don't mm-hmm. give me that.
Right. We need to keep the story that they're crazy. Not that there is actually something to it if you look hard
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Whew. I mean, what about Joaquin breaking his arm, hitting the trash can or something like that?
In The Master?
Is it The Master or the... Or I thought he does it in Joker or something like that.
Oh, did he do it in Joker?
He hurts himself kicking a trash can or something like that. And people are like, wow, that's acting. And then some actors are like, it literally isn't.
Yeah.
It's literally the opposite of what we're doing. We are acting and he did it.
Yeah.
So it's not what movies are. It's creating that's like a documentary. Bad therapy. yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, I think he's great, but like stories like that are just like,
everybody needs an editor.
It's always guys too. It's always guys. Yes. Like,
right.
But yeah, I think the one I was thinking of in The Master is like he freaks out in a jail cell and I think he rips a sink out of the wall and they were like, that he improvised that.
Right.
He was just really that pissed off. And it's like, it's an intense scene. Yeah, he nailed it.
Yeah, right.
Bummer for the other 100 people on set that day.
Yeah, bummer for the guy who literally has to fix the sink. The real sink from the location they rented.
Yeah, you know? Way angrier.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's like, I just put that sink in yesterday. Oh, boy. Well, we got more fun Man Dog coming to you soon, folks. We are trying to hit that $4,500 mark. And when we do, we're going to have a sweet, sweet live improv show via Zoom. Live for all of our patrons. So bring your friends to the pod, share it, do a review on iTunes, whatever's going to pump up the pod because you're going to get more from it. You know what I mean? Whatever audience support pushes us, whatever direction we push it in, we're going in. So let's help grow this baby.
Let's grow this. Thanks to everybody who has been. A lot of people have been going from the $5 to the $8 tier.
Yeah, we see you. We appreciate it.
We see you and we appreciate you. So thanks for that. And hey, we love doing it. As you could hear from this, we can't really do a 40-hour a week job. So we appreciate everyone that
we really, really do. And we hope you appreciate what we're doing because we definitely appreciate the support.
I wouldn't say plea, but I'm sure everyone here who wants to has done this already. But check out the Big Grande comedy specials, biggrandewebsite.com, for live improv shows. You can get the first one for free on YouTube. And then go ahead and, if you have the money, buy the other three. If you don't have the money, hit us up. We might just send it to you.
Maybe. Can't do it for everybody, but we might have a few lucky guests.
But
a few lucky fans.
Maybe send... I don't know what money to us directly.
That's right. Oh, and speaking of the short film that Dan and I are shooting, we shot a short film a while ago. My short film, The Take Back, and I think we're just about ready to release this thing. You know what I mean?
That's great.
We're gonna release it, and I'm gonna throw it on the old Man Dog. You know, you guys all deserve it, so we're gonna hit it up with the patrons soon enough. Hopefully, in the next month or so.
Ooh, I'm excited for that. Great short, really funny,
so fun. So I'm excited to have a bunch of fun shit that we've been working on popping out soon.
Do you guys have a release model plan for it? Or are you gonna drop it generally on YouTube, or are you trying to sell it? Or
no, I think just kind of on YouTube and get it out there and let people see it. And you know, we did it kind of a while ago, and we're waiting on some festival run stuff and blah blah blah. Now it's like this feels old. Let's just put it out and let people see it and move on to the next thing. You know,
awesome.
So we'll see, but definitely want to share it with all of our Man Dog homies. Lipper gives one of the most chilling performances ever seen. A true bad guy.
Nightmare on set.
My God. No, not as an actor, as a collaborator. This guy would not take any of the crafty we got.
I don't eat fruit. It was all fruit. I don't eat fruit.
Hey, I don't eat fruit. It came out today. Who cares? Just kidding. This guy loves fruit. Big banana hand over here.
Oh, my gosh. More of a strawberry watermelon guy. Yeah, I eat banana because you got to.
Sure. Potassium.
K. Vitamin.
Why is it a K?
Yeah. It's P. It's potassium.
It's P.
It's P. It's probably P. These damn Latin.
It's fucking phosphorus. Phosphorus is trying to take over
P. Did phosphorus steal P?
Or maybe that's pH. I don't know. I thought it was something like that.
I know. pH balance for a man, but. Wait,
well, folks,
strong enough for a man, but pH balanced for a woman.
That's right.
Secret way.
That's secret. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Folks, I'm going to be honest. Dan just brought it up. I'll wear women's deodorant from time to time just to change it up from my old other one. And it's refreshing.
Love. I used to wear, hey, if my mom's listening, sometimes I'd throw on her deodorant.
I'll wear her deodorant. I'll throw on a bra, maybe a little shoulder pad, a coat with shoulder pads in it, and walk around in high heels.
Go around and kill people at my motel.
Oh, isn't that like the short we're shooting this week? It's at a motel? What?
It is at a motel. And yeah, I think a little certain mom will be showing up.
Don't be late. Well, folks at home, thank you so much for listening. We love you. We support you. I hope you're having a good time and a good life. Go out there and seize the day.
Seize the day. Happy Memorial Day. I hope you are doing exactly what Memorial Day is made for, which is obviously
memorializing.
Memorializing, yes.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, good shit, Ryan.
Good shit, Dan. We love you.
Love you.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.